Welcome to the Solid Man Podcast. I'm your host, Ken Curry, licensed marriage and family therapist. SolidMan.com is an ongoing conversation designed to empower men to master the art of being a man. Hello, gentlemen. Glad you're here. So welcome to this podcast, this recording. Today I'm going to be working on the power grid. And so the Solid Man Power Grid is pretty much a supplement to quadrant one of masculinity. So with that, let me go ahead and just kind of outline this thing. There's a lot of things that are said about power. You talk about energy, you could talk about force. I'm not really one to describe all of those because there's so much to it. So the thing I'm talking about today is just the ability to get things done, or the category of influence, how I can actually influence things to the direction that I want things to go. It's kind of a part of being in control or controlling things. We do have a certain level of control over our over the categories around us. You hear me say it quite often that you can only control one thing, and that is you. But then we can influence. And I think the more we can influence, the more we're able to gain power, the more we're able to do things and get things done. That's kind of the category of power. And so you hear a lot of different things in our culture today about power. And I think today being able to map this out just a little bit, hopefully it'll give you a little more idea about how you can actually navigate your power that you have as a man. And I want to just kind of outline a couple different categories to really help that. So you may have heard or read Robert Greene's 48 Laws of Power. I think what Robert Greene has a ton of really good stuff. I really like Mastery, one of my favorite books on that. So I really respect what Robert Greene has to offer. The thing about it is that with the 48 Laws of Power, he really kind of leans pretty significantly on one type of power. So today what we're going to do is talk about two significant types of power and how that plays out in four different categories of how we actually use our power or how we actually build our power. And so I just want to be able to think about that. I want you guys to have a good idea of that. And so one of the things I'm using today is I call it the Solid Man Power Grid. What it is, you'll find that so often with explaining things and teaching things, using the four quadrant method kind of helps describe how different things play out. So that's what I'm doing again today. And so we have the X and the Y axes, and we'll look more clearly at those categories with that. So if you want to be able to get the power grid in front of you, you can just ask me for it. I'll send it to you. Or I'll try to post it to make sure that you have this available to you. So when it comes to power, this is a really, really significant part of how a man or a masculine man actually moves through life. And so the more you understand about the categories, the more then you're going to be able to choose which direction you actually use your power. So let's see, starting off here, I know that I'm going to miss so many things because I'm just kind of going off the top of my head. But if you look at the power grid, the x-axis, that would be the horizontal line on the that'll be going across to the right and left. And so on the top is where we are not free. So it's power that's being used where the person who is experiencing that power is not free. The bottom two quadrants is freedom, where the person who is experiencing those power are free. And so then the y-axis, that's the vertical axis, the up and down. And on the right side, the two quadrants there are the category of zero sum. On the left side is the category of abundance. So if you just want to have that in your mind as you're listening to me, we'll go forward with that. So what I want to start off with is the idea on the right side, the two quadrants on the right. are the categories of zero sum. And you've probably heard this term. What zero sum is, it's just a simple arithmetic. The whole idea of plus one minus one equals zero. Zero is the sum. And so with the plus one, when it comes to zero sum power, the plus one means there's one person with the power. The minus one is the person without the power. So zero sum is a category of one person has the power, one person does not have the power. And so this is an outlook on power, that if one person has power, the other person has no power. And this is a perspective of power that's played out in a ton of different categories, or different, categories might be the right term, but just it's played out in our culture. When people believe that power is zero sum, that either a person has it or the other person doesn't, it's played out really significantly. So let me see how this might work. So the world of the feminists, when they think of marriage or relationships, the whole idea of a feminist would believe if a man had power, then the woman has no power. It's pretty much all or nothing. And that's the whole thing of zero sum. It's all or nothing. If the man has power, the woman has no power. Or vice versa. But that's what they would like. Somebody to have power. And if somebody's going to have power, it better be the woman. That would be the feminist perspective. And so the idea of plus one minus one, yeah, that makes sense. I hope that makes sense to you. Let's see, I'm trying to figure out other things. So even in the world of politics, I think the reason why we don't see a lot of bipartisan type of things, almost everything today is you'll see 100% of one side voting for something, 100% of the other side voting against something, and it doesn't matter what it is. Rarely do you see where it's an intermingling where some of this, some of that. It's pretty much everybody is on board to be able to say we're going to vote for this or that, and it's kind of a all or nothing type of thing going on. So zero sum is really all or nothing. And so it's pretty much politically, if we have the power, you don't have the power. If you have the power, we don't have the power. So there's constantly this power struggle to be able to get that one little piece to make it to where I have the power. It's really kind of a, you're going to find as I talk through this, that it's kind of a really horrible power structure. So the idea is that there's a winner or a loser. One person has all the power, the other person has no power. And I really think that this is kind of, when we talk about the 48 Laws of Power with Robert Greene, I think he kind of leans into this where you're always scratching for a little bit of power over the other person, more than the other person. So let me kind of walk through a little bit of the zero sum categories. So on the bottom right, is, remember, the bottom is where people are free. So the people that are experiencing this kind of power are free to do what they want to do, free to move into the space that they want to or not. They're free. And it's on the right side is the zero sum. So in this bottom right category is the idea of competitive power. And the idea of competitive power, you're free to be in the game, or you're free to pursue the things that you want to pursue and compete for those things. And it's just, it's what I call power two. And you're going to see as I explain this, there's different prepositions with each one of the power. So this one's power two. We're going to find power over. We're going to find power for. And the idea of power two is I have the power to do whatever I want. I have the power to engage in the games or in the idea of business or whatever. So the people in this quadrant are free to engage in the game or not. They don't have to play the game. They're free. But there's always a winner and a loser. So this is obviously in the realm of sports. So if you want to play a sport, no matter what it is, whether it's an individual sport or team sport, there's always a winner and there's always a loser. unless you're playing soccer. And sometimes there's a draw, and I think that's kind of why Americans don't like that necessarily. They want a winner and a loser. Let's see who it is. And so, but sports is obviously a competitive place where I have the power to play the game or not, and there's always a winner and a loser. Another category would be the pickup artist world, where there's girls, there's women. Do I get laid or not? And so, am I going to get the girl? And so it's kind of a zero-sum thing. Either you do or you don't. It's in this competitive category. I'm free to play the game or not. In the world of business, that's another category with the competitive world. So whether it's sales or whether it's building a business through entrepreneurialism, I'm building a business. I'm going after that little corner of the pie, you know, and if I get what I want, I'm able to earn the money that I want and build my little empire or whatever. And you think about it, in the world of business, when you get somebody like Amazon, they pretty much own the whole corner on that market, and it's only growing, which is really crazy how they've built this business, and it's been competitive, and they're really taking over so much. There's, gosh, there's still a little bit of room for mom and pop stuff. And I think a lot of people are kind of doing the bet on Main Street type of thing where I'm not going to buy stuff from big, huge corporations. I'm going to stay local. And I think that is really wise to really keep, you know, those businesses going, but they're all in the game and it's a zero sum thing. Either I get it or I don't. That's kind of the category of the competitive. But remember, you have the power to play the game, or you have the power just to watch and just observe everything. But the competitive category is zero sum. There's a winner and a loser. So let's move to the top right. So the top, remember, the top categories are where the people under this type of power are not free. And so this is really the zero-sum category, where there is a person with the power, the plus one, and there's a person without the power, the minus one. And so the person in this category is not free. So whereas the bottom right was competitive, the top right is coercive. This is a category of power over, or the other way to say it would be tyranny. So tyranny is where the person who has the power over the people who are under this person with all the power. So the power here is limited to one or usually few individuals. It might be a group or that type of thing who are running the show. But usually it's one person kind of has it. It's kind of a Hitler thing. You know, obviously there were a few people that were under Hitler that kind of joined and shared in the wealth of power, but it really was one person. So the people under this have no power, or their freedom is very, very limited. You see this in different cultures, political structures. You know, when somebody comes in and totally takes over, like a Genghis Khan type of thing, where I'm going to take over and you will now listen to us and you'll do what we say. The people who are taken over are now enslaved to the will of the one with the power. And you can either submit to that, like I think back in the day when the Romans would take over, you know, you could submit or we would destroy you. I mean, it's pretty much how it works. And so that's, you don't have much say in the whole game, because we have the power, the zero sum. So this is the world of the tyrannical kings back in the day, warlords. You see a little bit of warlord stuff sometimes. Let's see, I think it kind of is mostly in the continent of Africa and the different countries there, where you'll see a different warlord still show up there and kind of take over the country. And then everybody under it just kind of has to go with it. Or you think of a guy like Saddam Hussein or somebody like that, where they kind of ran the show, and you either had to do what we say and go along with us, or we would destroy you. So that's the power over thing. The other category, and I'll talk a little bit about this, is parenting, and the coercive power over tyrannical quadrant with moms and dads. You see this sometimes when a parent is very, very controlling. Pretty much running the show with the whole family, you know, either mom or a dad, but usually the opposite. Rarely is it that mom and dad work together with equal power. Usually one of them is the tyrant, and they will run the show. And this may have been your family. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Or you might have seen it with one of your friends when you were a kid. You go, whoa, what the heck is that? The other category is when you're at work, it's a controlling boss, and you see the micromanaging, controlling, it's power over, you don't have much freedom, do as I say, get it done. The person with the power has the power. The person without the power has no power. That's the zero-sum coercive category. But the big part of this that I want you to see is the idea of power over, where my power is spent over you. I'm controlling you. I'm controlling your life. You have no say in what's going on. That's power over. And I would say every once in a while, as a parent, this is actually reasonable to be able to have the tyrannical power, coercive, where you force your children to do what they're supposed to do. Like get out of the street. If your toddler starts walking onto the street off the sidewalk, grabbing him by the scruff of his back of his shirt, and pulling him back off the street, back to the sidewalk, that's quite coercive, and it's fairly tyrannical. I'm forcing you to do what my will is, and that's exactly what you need to do. But for generally, coercive power over is not necessarily a parenting style that I would suggest, even though every once in a while it's right. So let's move over to the left side of this equation on the two left side quadrants. And this type of power is really important to be able to understand how it's different than zero sum. Remember, zero sum, one person has power, one person doesn't. The category on the left side is what I call abundance power. Abundance means there's more than enough power for everybody to go around. There's a lot of power to be had. And this is actually, I think, a really significant difference. The zero-sum people are always fighting and scratching for their little bit of power so they can control their lives or have a little bit of power. So like I was saying, when the feminist view of the household, if the man has power, patriarchy, the woman has no power. So they're fighting against the patriarchy where the man has power. But with an abundance view, if the man has power, he's able to give some of that power to the woman, to the wife. And so if he has power, he's empowering her, because there's plenty of power to go around. Empowering her, she then in turn gets strong and empowers him and supports him, and then it just keeps growing up and up and up, and power continues to grow, and both people really build themselves up in power. I'll tell more about my own personal story with that, because that's a really significant thing with my wife and I, how we have grown into what I would call a power couple, because we're really building each other up in the world of power. So the idea of abundance power, more than power for everybody, it's not zero sum, it's everybody has power, we can build everybody's power. So let's look at the top quadrant. Now remember, the top quadrants are not free. So the person under this category is not free. But what does it look like when it's in abundance? It seems like it doesn't fit. Whereas the bottom right was competitive, the bottom right, top right was coercive, the top left is colonial. And so the word colonial really fits here, because this is still power over. The people underneath the ones who are running the show are not free. So it's still power over, but instead of being power over tyrannical, it's power over benevolent. It's like a benevolent dictator, which obviously is an oxymoron. Benevolent dictator. I'm so nice, but I'm a dictator. It's like, I'm here for you, but I'm a dictator. I'm running the show. I'm controlling everything. So it's colonial, it's power over, and it's benevolent. So power in this quadrant is based on a certain group or individual having most of the power, but what they're doing is they intend to bring goodness to the people by providing infrastructure or systems and use the resources that are there from the people that were previously inaccessible. So this is colonial, obviously. The colonialists of the world, the most famous was the British Empire. So think about it, how the British Empire went into India. India, just this gigantic country, tons of people, and they went in as a colonial presence, and they came in and India had so much stuff as far as resources, and the British came in and said, "Hey, we'll take over, and we'll make sure you guys get all the infrastructure. We will build roads and trains and farms and canals and all these systems. We'll place all these systems as well as political structures. We'll put all these systems into place and build all this infrastructure. But you don't have any freedom. And we're colonialists. We're going to run the show. And we get the benefit of all the resources that you have. But hey, you're going to get all this really, really good stuff. Because we're so nice. We're benevolent. But we're dictators. So when it really comes down to it, it's like, especially like for the United States. Yeah, you were running the show. You're controlling everything. But we don't like it. And so the fight against the colonialism is how the United States started. And I think India is a really good example of how this is what colonialism is. We're power over, we're taking over everything, but we're giving you all this really good stuff. It's, like I said, an oxymoron. But it's still abundance because there's so much goodness to go around. But we're still running the show. We're still power over. So the benevolent dictator is found in a lot of family structures where the structure is, and I think colonialism, probably most families, especially with young kids where the children don't really have a voice yet, colonialism's probably the primary family structure that you're going to have out there, just because it's parents need to run the show for quite a bit. And so this is going to be a big thing where I am benevolent and I am telling you what we're doing as a family and you as a child. You're going to eat your food. You're going to do your homework. You're going to do your chores. You don't have much freedom here as a kid. And so as we move into the next quadrant, you're going to see how that plays out and it totally shifts and it should shift to the next quadrant as children get a lot older into their teenage years. You really want to shift how you do as a parent. So, but colonialism as a parent is kind of, especially like I said, with young kids, this is how we actually do it. But remember, it's abundance power. I want goodness to happen to everybody for sure. So let's move down to the collaborative side of things. So the collaborative is the bottom left quadrant, and this is abundance and the category of freedom. So people under this category are free. So this is collaborative. Collaborative means it's interactive. It means we talk. It means we are able to work together. We are working together to create abundance power for everybody. We want everybody to thrive. We want everybody to have an increased sense of well-being. This is the abundance-free category, collaborative. We're working together. Now, the power structure is power four. I am powerful, especially you think about it as a man. I am a very powerful individual, but my power is not necessarily over you. It's not for me to dominate you and to win and to have all the power. My power is for you. My power is to help you to thrive, to help you to increase your well-being. My power is to empower you, to really grow you to be a stronger, more powerful individual. That's my power. I want to provide for you. I want to protect you. I want to make sure that you're doing well. I have a sense that I have power. I want you to have power as well. That's abundance. That's collaborative. My power is for you. So the leader in this quadrant really seeks to become strong and as powerful as possible, and developing privilege and power to increase the well-being of everybody inside his system, inside his little sphere of influence. And so that's a really, really significant thing. So the powerful leader here uses his power for himself and his family, or whoever's in that sphere of influence. It could be friends, it could be your coworkers, it could be employees, but regardless, the powerful leader uses his power to empower others. And so the word here, power begets power. It's like as I become more powerful, you become more powerful, we all become more powerful. I was going to talk about my wife and I. So we have really built our family. Let's see, this year we'll be married 37 years. And so our kids are in their early 30s. And as we started off our family, it was like, this is a concept that I learned probably about 10, 15 years in. And it's an idea of the power for, that my power is here for my family. And you think about it, every dad is actually like this. Not every. There's a few dads that are total domineering, coercive, tyrannical. But for the most part, men really want their family to thrive. And the idea of really building power and privilege of the family, it's really weird how people talk about, oh, you just have privilege. It's like, yeah, I've been working all my life to gain privilege. I grew up in a really, really poor home, and I worked on my education. I worked on building my capital. I built on my abilities, my skills, to really create more privilege for me and my kids. And that's what a dad does. And so I made sure that my kids all got through college, and now, amazingly, they all have really cool careers. And then finally, the last person to get her degree was my wife. So my son got his degree December of 2015, my youngest, and then my wife in May of 2016. She was able to finish her degree, and with that, she was able to really start to advance her career. And so now, since then, since it's 2021 now, she's like doing really awesome in her career and just growing stronger and stronger all the time. But it was me that really helped her to get through that. We paid for it together. We got it, made it happen. Just like she got me through my college and master's degree education, she worked to get me to go through that and to take care of the kids. Now everybody's strong. So my wife is really strong and powerful with her career and her abilities. I have some really significant things, and we just keep getting better and better and better all the time. It just feels like we're a power couple. This is collaborative power. My power was for her. Her power is for me. My power is for my family. Hers is for her family. And we both want to become as strong as possible. That's the power for category, the collaborative. Remember, it's power begets power. It's kind of how the rising tide raises all boats. It's so different than the zero-sum idea of power. So becoming powerful for myself and for others, power for. And so this is a world of innovation and exploration and mentoring and invention and empowerment. It's just like, it's so different than the zero sum, where your big thumb is on the everybody holding them down because of the fear of if they have a voice or if they have power, they're going to take over and all this type of thing. That type of power is just so limited. It's so, it's very limited. It's zero sum. It's like you think you don't have the power. Anyway, guys, that's my quadrant. The bottom right is competitive power two. The top right is coercive power over tyrannical. The top left is colonial, which is power over benevolent, the benevolent dictator. And then the bottom right, or bottom left, sorry, is collaborative, which is power for. And the biggest thing about this, I just want you to see the total difference between the idea of zero sum and abundance power. If there's one thing that you get away from this, is that's the whole concept, is the idea of Abundance Power. I would love for you to explore that greater detail, and we'll talk soon. As always, stay solid, my friends.